to see each one again tonight. Thought it'd be good for us to continue on concerning Christ's resurrection from the dead and consider the evidence the Lord has given. And when he tells us in Acts, the first chapter, that he's given us many different infallible proofs, that actual word there for infallible proofs is many different tokens. He's given us many different kinds of evidence of the resurrection of the dead. And I'd like to deal with one of these here tonight. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 20 and 21, Jesus had the hope of eternal life foremost in his mind. As we read verse 20, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day." Then guess who's right there immediately to contradict the statement concerning their hope in the resurrection? "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from me, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So Satan knows just exactly how important it is for us to have the resurrection in mind at all times. We're reminded of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44, talking about our resurrection. It's sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And we need to keep this spiritual body in mind all the time, especially when we come into a temptation and know that if we get a spiritual body, we won't have those same temptations again. Our flesh will have been transformed into a spiritual body. We'll no longer be tempted in these ways. So that'd be pretty good not to be tempted. But in the meantime, the Lord knows our temptations. And as Brother John mentioned this morning, we must have these temptations in order to grow. So let's remind ourselves in John 4 and 24, God is spirit. Now, when we're talking about fleshly things and thinking about and being involved in things in the flesh, we're not dealing with the real world. We're dealing with a temporary world that will soon be destroyed and not exist anymore. And so if we're wise, we're going to have our mind centered on things that are eternal, not on things that are temporary. So God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So our spirit, God's spirit, is eternal, and our worship should be in that eternal realm, not in the fleshly realm. In John 5, verse 37, I remember one of our leading brethren was talking about the resurrection of the dead and said, there's no difference between death for you and the resurrection of Christ. Well, obviously he didn't understand. John 5:37, "The Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time," notice, "nor seen his shape." God has a shape. When we die and go to paradise or torment, we don't have any kind of a shape until God gives us another shape. But he did give the rich man a shape so he could see and speak and hear. Well, we'll have a temporary body, but God has to give us that too. But God has a shape. Philippians 2 and verse 6, we know this scripture, but we need to apply it to this lesson. Philippians 2 verse 6, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." So God has a form. And it's true, it's a spiritual body, a spiritual form. And we need to have this spiritual form in mind at all times. So 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, we remind ourselves of what we saw this last time. "Behold, I show you a mystery," in verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible," and notice, we shall be changed. So this physical body is not going to cease to exist. This physical body is going to be changed. And that's what he says in verse 53. For this corruptible, this body, must put on incorruption. So it's not that we're not going to have a body. We will have this body, but it will be a changed body. And this mortal must put on immortality. So we'll still be involved with our physical bodies, but in a different form. In verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So when we put something on, do we cease to exist? Or do we look differently? And of course, when we put on the incorruption, then we'll look differently, but it'll be this body transformed. And that's what he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35 to 37. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. So God gives it a body as it pleases him. So we put the wheat seed in the ground, and what comes up does not look like the wheat seed. Now later it may have seed, but the plant that comes up is fully different than the seed that was planted. So this is what will happen in the eternal resurrection. So let's turn to Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus definitely appeared in his earthly physical form when he appeared to the apostles after the resurrection. Luke 24, 36 to 43. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Now why would they think they had seen a spirit? Because men have to walk in through a door or through some opening. But he just suddenly appeared. And he said unto them, they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So he had flesh and bones at this time. And this is quite often used to say, well, he was raised in a physical body. Well, let's keep reading. While they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat, any food? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. So how can an appearance in a physical form prove an eternal resurrection? Well, we'll see what God has provided for us in this token. In Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 17, we all know it very clearly. Before his resurrection, Jesus was made like his brethren in everything. Wherefore, verse 17, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren in all things. So before the resurrection, he was straight physical, just like his brethren, and nothing else. In Mark, the 16th chapter, in verse 12, after the resurrection, we see another pattern. Before the resurrection, he was like men in everything in all his pattern. After the resurrection, we'll see that there is a different pattern, and we need to notice this pattern. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. So here he appeared in another form. So he appeared in different forms after the resurrection. Who is that like, or what is that like? In Acts, the first chapter, verse 3, Acts 1 and verse 3, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, and that in the Greek is by many tokens. So he had many tokens, many different kinds of evidence. of his resurrection. And he was seen of them in these different kinds of tokens 40 days and spoke to them concerning the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, we mentioned before in John the 12th chapter, verses 9 through 11, what did Lazarus need to do in order to prove that he was raised from the dead? John 12, verse 9, much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So what did Lazarus need to do that he was to prove that he was raised from the dead? He just needed to go home. Just go home and stay there. So if Jesus were raised physically from the dead, all he had to do is go and sit beside Lazarus, and you have two raised from the dead. But of course, that's not the kind of resurrection that Jesus had. So as we noted before, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked by the way. In this token that he gives us here, we'll see that Jesus, after the resurrection, is more like angels than he is like men. So our children need to know what happens to angels according to the witnesses who have seen all these angels. Right in the very beginning, starting in the very first, angels were used and appeared to men. We have many, many witnesses of these angels, and they all testify to the same thing. Let's take one example in Daniel, the 8th chapter. This shows an angel that appeared in different forms. Daniel, the 8th chapter, verses 15 to 18. And it came to pass that when even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So here is Gabriel, one of the angels. Verse 17, so he came near, Gabriel, where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So what kind of form did Gabriel have at this time? Now as he was speaking to me, when I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. So here Daniel, who's seen visions before, sees Gabriel, and he's on his face in a deep sleep on the ground. In verse 20, while I was speaking and praying and confessing, Daniel 9, verse 20. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. So here is Gabriel appearing twice to Daniel. And he speaks to Daniel. And Daniel is very much afraid and faints. And Daniel's not a weak man. Now we find the same Gabriel in Luke the 1st chapter, verses 10 to 13, comes and speaks to Zechariah. But notice Zechariah is afraid, but does he faint like Daniel, or is he in a different form? Luke 1, verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right hand side of the altar of incense. So here he goes in, and suddenly he sees this angel. Now keep in mind, that altar of incense is just inside the curtain. Now, they couldn't go inside this holy place, but the altar of incense was just inside. So when Zechariah then pulled the curtain aside to offer the incense, the angel was standing there in front of him. Well, when you walk in and see somebody you're not expecting to see, what happens? the shock is there, and of course, immediately you're afraid, but of course it doesn't last long if you recognize the person. But Zacharias saw him and was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." In verse 18, Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this?" Now, how was that different from Daniel? Daniel couldn't do anything until the angel lifted him up, till Gabriel lifted him up and gave him strength. But here's Zacharias, he's still standing there, and he's not convinced of the angel's words. Now, how could he not be convinced of an angel's words when he appears there? And he obviously knows it's an angel, but how afraid is Zacharias? Well, he wasn't afraid to ask him, "Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." So here's an angel appearing, Gabriel himself. Daniel believes, but Zechariah does not believe. So we've got two different people, but do we have two different situations, two different forms? Well, then in Luke, the first chapter, we find Gabriel appearing a third time in the scriptures. No telling how many times he appeared before that. Luke 1, verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Did she faint like Daniel? Well, let's read and see. "When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying." Notice, doesn't say she was troubled at his appearance. She was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. So here is Gabriel appearing in apparently different forms at different times. And so we find Jesus doing the same thing as Gabriel did. And specifically, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked in the way. Well, let's go to that account in Luke 24, where they are walking in the way, and Jesus then appears to them. We can understand that if he appeared in a different form, how their eyes were held, that they could not know him. They saw him, but they didn't know who it was. Why? He was in another form. And it came to pass, verse 15, that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So verse 30, it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Now, how many men could do that? Here after the resurrection, here Jesus now could appear and he could disappear, vanish out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Well, they didn't say, why didn't we recognize the holes in his hand as he pointed, or the holes in his feet? Well, they could easily have seen that if he had been in his other form. But their eyes were open, and how did they know him? We're looking at verse 33. "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread." So they didn't recognize his form. Well, it was in a different form. So angels appear in different forms throughout the scripture. What is Jesus doing after the resurrection? So is he following the pattern of men after the resurrection or the pattern of angels? I'm reading here from one of our famous brethren, And just for a matter of interest, he says, we must keep in mind that the disciples were spiritually blind and that they had accepted Jesus on blind faith. They expected Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom, and since he did not, they were very confused. I don't know where he got this from, unless it's his own imagination or somebody else's imagination that they read. But Jesus talked to these apostles for 40 days concerning the resurrection. And I think it's this brother who doesn't understand and is spiritually blind, and not the apostles. So this same brother tells us very clearly in one article, Jesus was raised in the same physical body in which he was crucified. And then I read another one where he says he was not raised in the same body in which he was crucified. So maybe he got some spiritual sight or some understanding. But we don't want to listen to what brethren say. We want to listen only to what the Lord says. In Luke, the 20th chapter, 34 to 36, no man can see a spirit body. So if Jesus were raised in a spirit body, which he was, how could God prove a spiritual resurrection? Luke 20, verse 34, Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which are to be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, and here's our key, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So here's the children of the resurrection. They are equal unto the angels. Now, in Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 13 and 14, he tells us very plainly that Jesus did not take on the form of an angel, but he was equal to the angel in that he was in a spirit form. Hebrews 1, verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So here are angels. They're all ministering spirits. Now, men are souls. Angels are spirits. In Psalms 104, verse 4, this is what he's quoting from in Hebrews 1 here, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers as a flame of fire. And in both the Hebrew and the Greek, that word spirit there is the word wind. He makes them unseen powers, literally winds. In Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So if he were equal to the angel, how could he not be in the nature of angels? And of course, the answer is, angels and God are spirits. And when Jesus was resurrected, he was in a spirit form, and that's equal to the angels. But he did not take on of the nature of angels. So it tells you that God and angels are of a different kind. And Jesus now was in the form of God. We just read that. Then he was resurrected from the dead. And of course, he's again in the form of God. He's not in the form of angels. And we'll not be in the form of angels because we'll be in the form of God. But we will be in spirit forms. And that's how we are equal to the angels. In 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse 17, we all know this account of Elisha and the young servant that he had. 2 Kings 6, verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Well, we just saw that his ministers are a flame of fire. And so here were all these ministers all around the mountain, but the man could not see until the Lord opened his eyes. And they obviously had to take on some kind of a physical form, or they could not see with physical eyes. So let's turn again to Genesis 19. And this is an account that we all know, but we need to pay attention to the fact that these angels were in the form of men and looked exactly like men. Men could not tell the difference between the men and angels in the form of a man. Genesis 19, verse 1, there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground and said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed them upon them greatly, and they turned in and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So here's this unleavened bread, and they ate Lot's feast, if you can call unleavened bread a feast. I'm not sure we'd use that word, but nevertheless, the scriptures use that word, so maybe we need to change our mind on what a feast is. So here they're angels, and they came and they walked to Sodom, and they entered into Sodom, Lot's house in Sodom. In verse 5, what did the men of Sodom see? And they called unto Lot and said unto them, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." So here is a witness of what these men saw. They saw ordinary men. Verse 9, they said to Lot, "Stand back." And they said again, "This fellow came in to sojourn, and will he need be a judge? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Well, Lot was physical, the door was physical, the men were physical. And verse 10, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. So what form were these angels in? They were fully in physical form. And they were able to shut the door and take Lot by the hand. And then verse 16, while he lingered, Lot lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, there's your physical, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now the angels appeared in a physical form, and they were able to do physical things with a physical form. So Jesus appearing in his old physical form could do the very same thing he did before the crucifixion, before the resurrection. And so his old physical form was needed to prove that he had been resurrected in a physical, spiritual body. So Judges, the 13th chapter, verses 19 through 21, another account of an angel with Manoah and his wife. Judges 13, verse 19. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. Now as far as Manoah was concerned, this was just an ordinary man. As far as his wife is concerned, he said his appearance is terrible. He's an angel. Well, it turns out the woman was right. Verse 20, for it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of God. So until he actually did something like appearing or disappearing, Manoah didn't know it was an angel, but when he could go up in the flame and disappear, what did Manoah know? He knew that it was an angel. Well, what did Jesus do when he disappeared there in that room when he gave the apostles the bread? In Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 42 and 43, to be seen, angels must appear in a physical form of some kind. Luke 22, 42 and 43. Jesus said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Now, did the angel have to appear in a physical form to strengthen him? No. But why did he appear in a physical form? For our sake, so we could know that angels do appear in physical forms. Then in John the 20th chapter. John 20 and verse 19. After the resurrection, we see another pattern for Jesus. Previous to this time, he was like his brethren in all things. He walked from place to place, never appeared and disappeared. And someone says, well, what about when he walked on the water? Well, water's physical, last time I tried it. And he was walking on something physical. He was in a physical form. And someone says, well, that showed he was the Son of God. Peter said, can I come out and walk on the water to you? And Jesus said, come. So it may have been true. Peter only took a few steps, but where did Peter step first? He stepped on the water. Does that mean that Jesus is the Son, that Peter's the Son of God? No, it shows that Jesus had power, and he was also able to give Peter the power to walk on water. So John the 20th chapter, verse 19, Jesus now is appearing. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were ascended for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So here suddenly Jesus appears in the midst of them. Is this what men do or is this what angels do? Which pattern did he have? The pattern of men or the pattern of angels? Then in John 20, verse 26, after 8 days again, his disciples were within. Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. So here is Jesus now appearing like angels appear. What does that tell you then about his form? Men can't do that. Men have a physical form. They only have one, and that's all we can have. But here is Jesus appearing in different forms and appearing and disappearing just like angels. Then Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 35 to 39. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Verse 36, Luke 24. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Did he smile when he said that? Well, of course, he knew why they were troubled. He said, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So Jesus suddenly appeared in a physical body, but what did the angels do? They were the same way. Otherwise, no one would know that an angel was there. Then verse 40, when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. So what does that show us that he did? The very same thing that the angels in Sodom did when they came to see Lot. So why did Jesus need to eat before the apostles? He needed to show them that he was not a spirit. And they needed to handle him to show that he was not a spirit. So he was in a physical form at that time. So here's another quote from our brother. It is amazing how our minds play tricks on us. Since Mary Magdalene was so certain that the body had been stolen, she was not expecting to see him and therefore did not recognize him. Well, I don't know where he got that one either, unless it was the same imagination he used for the last one. What evidence does this brother have for such a statement? We don't need to believe man's imagination. In John the 20th chapter, verse 13, here's the evidence. John 20, verse 13, they say unto him, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So here she is, close enough to talk to him, and doesn't know who it is. Verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? So did she recognize him by his voice? Did she recognize him by his appearance? And the answer both times is obviously not. Supposing him to be the gardener, so what kind of dress did he have? We don't know, but she supposed he was the gardener. But if the gardener had a special form, she would say she believed he was the gardener. But here it says supposing him. She said, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself. Now here she had turned away from Christ. Christ is behind her. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said, Touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So here is Jesus now, obviously not in the same form that he was when he was on the cross, or the same form he was in when he was with them previously. If he had been in the same form, would she have recognized him? If he had had the same voice before, as he had before, would she have recognized his voice? Then how did she know him? By his calling her name. So John the 21st chapter, verses 4 through 7, here again we find Jesus appearing in another form. If this were the same form that he appeared previously when they didn't know him, they would have recognized that other form. But notice in verse 4, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now, he tells us how far it was that they were away, about 300 yards, 300 meters, 200 cubits. In verse 5, then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said, Cast the net on the other side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast it, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. How did he know? They didn't know it was Jesus. It says so. Then how did John know it was Jesus? Because of the miracle that he had done before and did the same miracle again. So it wasn't his form and it wasn't his voice, but it was a miracle that caused John to recognize who it was. And so Peter then cast himself into the sea and swam. And then verse 24, but Thomas, John the 21st chapter, verse 12, Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and gives to them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So the first day he appeared to them, and it was in his old form. The second time he appeared, 8 days later, he was in his old form. Now the third time he was there, he was not in his old form. He now is in another form. In verse 12, he said, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. So here we have a pattern Jesus had after the resurrection. The very same pattern that the angels had, Jesus now has after the resurrection. The Lord tells clearly that he appeared in another form. And that's just like angels. And this is the proof, one of the proofs, the tokens that God has given us that Jesus was raised in a spirit body. We read where angels are spirits. Nobody can see them unless they take on a physical form. Jesus was raised from the dead in a spirit form. Nobody could see him until he took on a spirit form. Angels appeared in different forms, and Jesus appeared in different forms. So what pattern is Jesus after the resurrection? Definitely in the same pattern as the angels. In Acts, the first chapter, verse 3, he appeared with many different tokens. Acts 1, verse 10. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. So what does this testify again? That he was like the angels, like Manoah, the angel Manoah saw. He just went up into the air. He was taken up from them. Men can't do that, but angels did all the way through the scriptures. So no man can see the face of God, but God has given us evidence, tokens, that Jesus was raised from the dead. And this is one of the major tokens that God gives, that he was like the angels, like we will be in the resurrection. And we cannot die because we are equal to the angels, and angels are spirits, and what is unseen is eternal. Well, I hope this gives you one of the witnesses that God offers us in the scripture, and maybe gives you a clearer picture and a more secure understanding that Jesus truly was raised from the dead in a spirit body like we will have in the resurrection. Tonight, if you're not a member of the Lord's body and you would desire to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, he tells us that the old man is crucified in Romans 6, verse 6, and the old man then is buried with Christ in verse 4, Romans 6, verse 4, and then in Romans 6, verse 4, he rises to walk in a new life. And then he makes a promise in verse 5, if we have been raised in the likeness of his death, then we'll be like him in his resurrection. That's future tense. So he's talking about this eternal resurrection that we've been studying here tonight. We'll be like him in his resurrection if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. So if you've not been buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, then you don't have that promise in Romans 6 verse 5. But you can have if you desire. And you have repented, you have that new mind that says, I'll no longer live for self, but I'll live for Jesus who died and rose again. If that's your mind, and you have the new mind that you're going to live for Christ, and you want to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away and rise to a new life in the kingdom of God, born again in the kingdom, then we would encourage you to come. And if you need the prayers of the church, we would also encourage you to come at this time while we stand together and sing.